You're listening to the oneofus.net podcast network.
Come in with some joke, but the glass castle being what it is, I'm not going to throw any stones. Oh, wait. So, my name is Elliot, and I'm here with...
I can't see. I'm Laura.
And
I'm Frank.
So we're going to be discussing the glass castle, a new film coming out with starring Brie Larson, based on the 2005 memoir by Jeanette Walls, and just a brief run-through of the plot. It just is it's from Jeanette Walls' character, played by Brie Walson, from her perspective, and it's a lot in flashback of her childhood growing up with, for the lack of a better word, two parents who have at least somewhat mental issues that they're not dealing with.
We call it free-spiritedness, yeah. I suppose. Yeah.
Bohemian would be the word in the 50s, I guess.
Yeah, let's call them hippies.
Yeah.
Dirty hippies.
So, I just want to start off with everybody's just impression. What was your, just off the top of your head, your impression of the movie?
I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the acting. I thought that the kids they got were amazing.
Kids were great.
I don't know how they got the performances out of those kids. Unbelievable, really. And I enjoyed the clarity of vision that the kids had about their parents.
Yeah, the kids part was almost more affecting than when they flash back to the adult.
Yes, and the very, very end of it, I think we were talking about this earlier, there's like a happy sheen. Didn't care for that part so much, it didn't ring true for me, that very last scene, but...
Mm-hmm. With, where let's all sit down to dinner?
Yeah, happy memories.
At the same time, you know...
what else are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. We live in you either fall apart or you put your, put the pieces together as you can, and you know.
Yeah, overall, I really enjoyed it.
As best you can.
What's your first impression? We're going to go back over a little,
bit more. It's the entire time seeing, I feel like I like this movie. I just don't know on what level I like this movie. And I think
I agree with that.
It's
also.
It's a lot of the ideology for me, about this movie is a struggle between not liking or, sort of resenting the family that you were given and the life you were given, and acknowledging how much of it is a part of you, and how much it's driven you in your adult life. And it's sort of something that you need to reconcile with, and that's certainly what drove this.
But that message, and it's, I feel like it's undercut a little bit, and we're going to take it back to the beginning of the movie. So when we meet Brie Larson and her character, Jeanette, when we meet her, the first scene we meet her in, she comes to her mom, and she's like, "Mom, I'm hungry." And mom goes, "Well, would you rather eat, and that's going to be gone in about an hour, or would you rather me paint this painting?" And that pretty much encapsulates the parents' attitude towards the children. So she goes, "Okay, I'm going to make myself some hot dogs." And what do you know? She scalds and burns herself, literally catches on fire. And so that is the high point of the childhood for her.
I know, that is true.
First 10 minutes.
And it's only peppered, with fake high points of, "Oh, my parents are showing me the desert and we're having such a great time because we're not in school."
Yeah, her dad loves her so much. She's obviously the favorite.
Yeah.
And she only has eyes for him. He can do no wrong for her as a young child. And then she starts to see the reality that he's a drunk. He's a totally abusive alcoholic.
But she gets older, and as you get older, your parents stop becoming your heroes.
Right.
As soon as you get older, because you start learning about, real life.
Real life, right. And she was the only one that they showed who called him on it. And then had to bear the burden of, being the person with the clarity.
Yeah, if we're going to talk about, just to give it more context, it's this entire story, the plot basically is, from what I can see, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, is just her recounting her life and how everything she went through and her sisters and her brother went through, how that made them into who they are today, But then it does a really interesting thing that you don't see in a lot of stories, where a lot of stories that are lesser will stop when they make that realization, mm-hmm. and they'll give an easy, and everything turned out great. Ending.
Right.
This sort of does that, but at least it mm-hmm. shows that the story didn't stop, because the two stories are set, I think, in like the late, the mid-60s.
Mid to late 60s.
And then like, the 80s.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they have the big shoulder pads
yeah.
for the
yeah.
ladies.
Yeah, big hair, good yeah. stuff.
I can't just say on a visual of the 80s scenes looked so great.
Like, yeah.
It was such a well-shot sequences. I just...
But not overdone.
No, not overdone. It was yeah, almost like, you know, it was nice. Very, very New York in the 80s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, her New York, you know, that side of New York in the 80s. I just thought it was really... no, it was just very beautiful. It was a very beautiful film overall.
Yeah, very so. Nicely shot, although the Steadicam was driving me crazy at the beginning. I was like, whoa,
Steadicam, what do you mean? What do you mean?
There were some Steadicam shots that were just making me dizzy, because okay. it was just, they were falling, you know, doing like a circle around, and then it was going around.
Oh, yeah, I remember what you're talking about, yeah.
I can't remember if that was a desert scene or not. But I just
no,
remember
it was.
Thinking, slow down, yeah, no. let me focus.
So, did y'all read the book?
I did not.
I did not.
I read the book a while back for a book club, and... One of the things I remember is this movie leaves stuff out. And they're trying, in my view, is it feels like the director and the producers are trying to make this into a movie that can either get Oscar buzz or can sell.
Mm-hmm.
Because the book is just, the book is not what you get on this screen. The book is, and because it's just the format, you wallow in a book. You don't just sort of go through a book and watch it like a movie. They really try to put this happy sheen on it at times,
mm-hmm.
and they have peaks and valleys of emotion, whereas in the book, you can go a long time with just a bunch of bad stuff until you get to that little bit of a thing going on. And I feel like it maybe undercuts what she was trying to do in 2005 in the book.
But, you know, I'm wondering, like, how much of that, because you do have a limited amount of time, and you are only allotted so much time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And knowing this, I wonder how much of that... You know, with that mentality, they say, okay, well, look, we've got to just what can we like salvage from this book mm-hmm. and put in this space of time, be true, you know, be authentic as we can to this life story, and still have like you know a through line, you know, like a narrative.
Yeah, the through line is a lot stronger here.
Yeah, they probably had to pick the ones that they thought got their point across the.
It's just probably, if you, you know, in that sense, it probably isn't the easiest task in the world, especially with this story.
Yeah, and they actually, it was a lot easier to follow certain parts, like realizing that the glass castle was that foundation. And it's just like, just the visual, that it was a lot more effective.
Yes.
Because
they did a nice job stacking the scene with some of those things.
And then some of the musical cues were really good. Because it helped move the movie along a little bit.
Yeah,
there was a lot of, you know, this is the second movie in a row I've seen with lots of silence, that you're just dealing with sounds of life and people talking, not a lot of music everywhere. So the pieces that were there, yeah, really helped move the story around. But it made you look at the people and see what they're doing with their faces. That's giving us more than what the words were doing half the time.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
The camera can catch you thinking.
Yes.
That's what you like to say.
So. Well, you know, speaking of acting, what did y'all think of Schmidt? I mean, because he was the star of the movie, Schmidt from New Girl.
Yeah. He was it.
Actually, I thought I quite liked him in this. And, you know, because, I mean, Schmidt's like Schmidt, you know.
Yeah.
But, he's Schmidt.
Schmidt.
That's it.
But, I liked him. I liked him in this.
I thought he was trying not to be Schmidt.
But he's still Schmidt.
He's still Schmidt. I think he's very toned down.
And he's still playing a yuppie. He's just an 80s yuppie now.
Because Schmidt is so stylized.
This is more, he's more grounded here.
Yeah,
this,
he
this
is more
Schmidt's
grounded.
More grounded than New Girl, but it's two different Schmidts. Yeah.
Although the drinking scene was pretty good.
Yeah. What did
that
y'all think
awesome,
of
actually.
That was amazing. Well, it's like, don't say you're ready for anything. You get a surprise.
Yeah, that was a good scene. That was really fun. And mm-hmm. everyone did something, the actors all did something mm-hmm. different in that scene.
Yeah,
like, different sides of them came out.
Yeah, but it's one of those movies that just makes you understand why she hates him and loves him.
Yes.
At the same
time.
She
can't help but love him.
Yeah.
But man, she hates him because she knows what he is.
She knows that for better or worse, he is responsible for the person that she turned into.
Yeah.
But she, you know, holds such resentment towards him.
Rightful.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that she doesn't resent her mother more, actually.
Yeah.
That's
She was played by Naomi Watts, right?
Yeah, she did a great job.
Yeah.
She did.
I just wish the story would have given her character a little bit more shrift.
I keep on thinking, like, this is the third release Naomi Watts has had this year, following Shut In, which was a bomb, and The Book of Henry. which was a mega bomb. And I was thinking, man, girl, you got to get your shit together, or else your days are going to be numbered.
You guys, you go take the agent's job. You're going to be her agent now. Get her
stuff
together.
She's so good.
She's really good. She's just a flawed, picker. I think of roles for her, not material, but of roles.
Yeah.
See, and I tell you, for me, honestly, I feel like Woody Harrelson was almost as Rex Walls was almost too charismatic for the role.
Yeah.
Because he sort of makes you like him too much.
I think that was the point.
Okay, that's okay.
Yeah.
The point is he's super charismatic, which is why he gets away with all his bullshit this whole time.
No, you're right, because if we're watching it from Jeanette Walls' viewpoint, we're wanting to see how she saw him.
People get drunk on his personality, his charm.
He's very charming.
He's charming. He's like a hustler,
Yeah.
Although she doesn't find that out till later.
But he's also he's also full of life and he is free-spirited, and he's full of imagination, and he wants his kids to be, have that sense of adventuresome, and the world is your oyster, and don't have to take everything as gospel, you set your own path, and he does want to impart that. But at the same time, he's, in doing that, he's also neglecting them as well.
Yeah, and he does have a character arc. He starts off a lot happier and definitely goes the other direction,
Yeah, and you see sort of...
Nice thing. He was not so full of life at the end.
I'm not going to speak for Woody
More
Harrelson,
bitter,
but I can go ahead and see... I saw a lot of parallels to Woody Harrelson, because Woody Harrelson is also very sort of hippie-ish. He is also
no.
sort of like, come on.
Just a little bit.
Dude opened an oxygen bar in L.A. A bar where you go and suck on oxygen.
Some drinking issues.
But, and he is sort of, the scene where he was sort of like ranting about not giving, not adding to the noise or not being part of this.
Yeah.
I said, well, that's totally Woody Harrelson's ideology.
Yeah,
at least on some level it is. And so I thought, okay.
Are
you acting here? Really?
Yeah. I know. He didn't have to act much.
No. At the same time, he's very good. At the same time, he's the focus of every scene he's in.
No, he basically took Hamish and turned him up to 12.
Yeah.
So gonna turn that character right up. Because he does play sort of in his range of characters very well. I would love to see a different type for him. Because it's been a while since he played a different type.
Watch The Walker. It's a Barbe Schroeder film he did last 10 years ago with Lily Tomlin, Lauren Bacall, and Kristen Scott Thomas. Indie film. But it's a different Woody Harrelson like there's ever been. And so everyone that says that, because it's easy to say that about him, I say go see The Walker.
I tell you, who do you think was better? Do you think the child actors were more affecting than the adult actors?
I would think in each scene, oh my God, this girl is so good. Mm-hmm. And then I'd go see Brie Larson, and I'm like,
I think because Brie Larson's character is carrying everything that the child version of her is already has. So she has that and the adult life she's trying to maintain for herself as well. So I think she's got, as an actor, more...
more work to do.
Yeah, more work to do. More room to play. More stuff to play with. More toys to play with. And and plus, I think she's one of those... she can act without talking.
Yeah.
Brie Larson. I love that.
She had this part where she acted with her eyes.
Mm-hmm. And her eyes are I'm a big fan of Brie Larson's eyes.
So
to be honest
big.
With you.
Oh
most men are. So, to be fair.
The best part about King Kong was her eyes.
I need to see King Kong.
She was great. I have to say. She did a great job. She dominated the scenes she was in.
Especially that drinking scene.
That was great.
Which
the ball. Diggity.
Yeah.
When they went to the parents' house with the
arms.
Suddenly her boom, she changed. Her character
I
came
see that,
out.
Yeah,
like,
because I think she just finally, it's, she can only take so much of her dad to a point, and before, that button is finally pushed and then that trigger, and she just explodes. She's like, can't take this anymore.
And then you can
anymore.
See how she can match him.
Yeah, how she survived in that environment. Like, she's trying to keep it all bottled in. But she's like, fine, I'm in this environment. I'm going to snap back to how I was during that environment.
Yeah.
And I'm just calling him Schmidt because I forgot his name in the movie. And Schmidt's just like, what the hell is going on?
For those non-New Girl fans, I'm talking about Max Greenfield, who plays somebody in this movie.
Uh-huh.
I swear, New Girl plays it when
he is in this movie.
Basis at this point. It's always on.
So I think we've talked a bit about all this. Like, so what are we going to final thoughts? And let's start with you.
You know, I saw, it's so funny. I saw a quote on Twitter today, and I really wish I knew. I was thinking about all the way in the car who said it, but I, it's gone. But it, the quote was, never follow a hippie to a second location.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's a good rule. That's a very good rule. And,
I kept on going back to that in this movie, because especially as they're moving from, like,
I'm so happy,
know,
I didn't have
dilapidated house to dilapidated house.
It's like, never go to the second bar. It's never a good
time. Exactly. Actually, I am going to go to the second bar after this tonight. but, you know, I think this is a very heavy film. It's also a very cathartic film, because I think, you know, no matter what kind of environment you grew up in, it's, it has a lot to do with, appreciating, you know, the world you were given as a child and acknowledging it as an adult and how it is still a part of you and how your parents, for better or worse, are a part of you. And, it's a lot, it's a huge thing for people to reconcile, but, it is incredibly universal. And I think, you know, whatever accuracies or discrepancies between the book and the film are around, I think, that point is made through and through. On a technical level, I think this film is very well made, and I think it's a great end of summer, later summer, you know, piece of cinema to, like, sink your teeth into that has, like, does have some weight in it. The performances are all great across the board. Yeah, it might be a little bit too heavy for some people, depending on the environment you grew up in. If that really resonates with you, maybe you shouldn't go see this movie. But, you know, overall, I think this is a solid film. I think it's a very solid film. No real big complaints with it. I think I'm going to give it about 7.5. Kind of mediocre paintings, if I'm being honest.
Oh,
here.
Yeah.
Paintings were horrible.
If they used the real mother's paintings in this film, I'm going to feel so bad about that.
Yeah, the paintings. Oh, so, yeah, the paint. You know, you just look at her and go, oh, it's so lovely. And that was, yeah.
It's like, not everybody needs to follow their dream.
No.
Exactly.
But how nice that he loves her nonetheless, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought this was also just extremely well-made movie. It was, it starts right in. You see who the people are immediately. You get what's going on, and then you just see how they work through it. And it's really interesting to see the kids' point of view and their clarity of vision as they see what their parents are and see how they have to manage to get out of their situation, and knowing that they have to do it themselves and really become adults when their parents are incapable. Mm-hmm. Their parents are so fucked up. And but yet they still love them because they still have these charismatic, loving parts of them, and it's, you know, mm-hmm. it's clear.
It's the abuse cycle.
Yeah, it is.
That's the abuse cycle.
You can't leave it. The mom could not leave the abuse cycle. And so I think that a lot of people will resonate with different parts of this film, you know, especially, you know, people who have kids or who have dysfunctional families, which is, let's face it, pretty much everybody will find something that they can, you know, agree with or resonate with.
Well, yeah, like the part about you tell stories about things that at the time were just horrible. And then 30 years later, you're telling that story at the dinner table and y'all are just laughing about it.
It was so great when we froze.
Whereas I tried to shut that out of my memory.
Awesome.
Keep scarring me.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I really enjoyed so many different parts of it. But I'm trying to figure out how much I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's one of those that's hard to nail down.
Maybe it's like the book in that sense. You need to live with it for a bit and just determine how it really affects you.
So I'm going to give it 8 Howls at the Moon because that's where I am right now. But yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I mean, I feel like, you know, what y'all said is a mark of just the quality of the movie, that it is a piece of art that you have to consider, that you can't just, you know, put on a shelf and say, that was a 9 out of 10. I just know it is, and it's never going to change in my mind.
People are going to walk out of the movie talking about it. They're going to think about it. They're going to talk amongst themselves. Mm-hmm. People were doing it in the theater tonight. They're all talking about it.
It's not a thumbs up, thumbs down scenario.
It's something you're going to be turning over when you go to work the next day. You're just going to be turning it over in your head without knowing you're doing it.
Yeah.
And it might bring in some stuff that you don't want to think about. Like, I think this is a very, very well put together movie. It has a great through line. I like the musical cues. The performances across the board were great. I don't know if they could have made a better movie out of the source material than they did, because there are times I felt like it was struggling against what the source material was. Not that it was bad, but that it is so sad. Mm. But you're trying to make a through line. And if you're trying to make a movie that's going to have any kind of positive reaction, you need to give people something to root for. You can't just have 2 hours of just sadness. Like, most of the time, you can't.
Let's face it, we know their life was really much worse.
Yeah, that's what we're like, okay, we get it.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to minimize it, but, you know.
Right, they didn't bash us over the head too much.
Yeah, so it's like, all that said, even then, like, I feel like it doesn't quite reach as its potential. Even though I know I could feel them trying, I feel like a director, maybe people who had a little bit more time, a little bit more artistic sensibility could have brought something extra to it.
Do you think it was the greatest hits of the book? Would you call it?
Not really greatest hits, but like, I feel like they didn't, there were parts that they really, and I'm going to use a word from The Simpsons because I don't know how to say it any other way, embiggened parts of the, I mean, they really accentuated things visually with the new medium, and I wish they had done more than that. And I'm not trying to mark them down for things I wish they had done, but you have the glass castle, you have all these great imagery that you could do, like if a movie like The Fall, where you use the trauma to have all these great images and really bring it home. I feel like if they had gone and challenged themselves a little bit more, it could have been amazing. It, as it is, I still give it 8 mountain goats out of 10, but it could have been a 10 out of 10. And so it's like they weren't swimming for the fences. They were just trying to get it a triple. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get on third base.
But they didn't exceed their...
They didn't strike out.
Yeah, the reach out did not exceed their grasp.
Yeah. So that is our review.
And that's it?
That's it.
No joke?
Okay, mister.
No final joke?
This doesn't need a joke.
I get you like that hippie quote. I mean...
Unless this is like Hunger Games 4, I don't know.
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Pub, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to OneOfUs.net and don't forget your towel.